Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, I've mentioned this before, but in January I visited Haiti and the Dominican Republic, and you've probably heard me say that the poverty I saw in both countries was just so extreme, and yet paradoxically the vitality of the Christian churches there was just so wonderful. I don't know what it is, but so often the strongest believers seem to live in the poorest places. Now, contrast that with my flight home to Australia. I flicked through the in-flight catalogue in the seat pocket in front of me. Here I just visited countries where hundreds die every day from hunger and sickness. And yet right here, with this catalogue, with my credit card, I could buy anything from gravity-defying shoes with spring-loaded heels to give me bounce, or a portable foot spa to soothe my tired feet. And you know, it was just about then that it hit me that we are suffering from our own form of poverty. The Haitians have got nothing, but they do have God. We seem to have everything, and we keep trying to fill our spiritual emptiness with stuff that we don't need. Well, last year on Open House, we spoke to Professor Ron Sider, author of many books, particularly Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger. That's his best-known book. And on that plane, I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could talk to Ron again and get some practical help on learning to live simply? And I was absolutely delighted when he agreed to join us for a series on that very topic. Ron Sider, welcome again to Open House.
Thanks. Delighted to be with you.
You know, it's amazing, isn't it? Poverty plagues the developing world, and materialism seems to plague the developed world. How on earth have we gotten to this state?
Well, the answer with regard to each of those things is very complex. There are lots of causes of poverty, some of them being bad choices, some of them being natural disasters, some of them being unfair structures and unfair balance of power. And in terms of the materialism, I think that one of the things that's happened in the developed world is that in order to persuade us to sell more and more, the advertisers have told us that the way to joy and fulfillment is through more and more things. And so the emphasis gets put on more and more material gadgets, more and more wealth to buy those things, and get into a mad rat race where we grasp for more and more, and even often try to fulfill our deepest desires with more things, and it doesn't work.
I always think of the book of Deuteronomy, and you have this almost consistently repetitive statement from Moses saying, when you get into the promised land, do not forget the Lord your God. When you get into the land flowing with milk and honey, do not forget the Lord your God. And it's so repetitive, and sometimes it gets a bit boring, and now I see why. I can see why.
Yeah, well, Jesus said that wealth is dangerous. It's not evil, but it's certainly dangerous. I think that St. Augustine put it well when he said that material possessions are like a ring from the beloved. They're good things, but if we get so focused on them that we forget the beloved, we've got everything mixed up.
Well, I think the first thing we need to do then is somehow grasp what God's plan for possessions and for money indeed is. Give us the biblical guidance on that as a theologian. Let's start with money. What is the purpose of money from a biblical perspective?
Yeah, well, money is simply a means of exchange. It's simply an easy way to evaluate what things are worth and make it easy for us to exchange things. You know, we used to do it by barter. I'll give you so many loaves of bread for so many pounds of corn. So money is just a means of exchange. I think the real question is, what's a biblical understanding of wealth? I mean, I think that there are mistakes on both sides on that. Asceticism is not the biblical perspective. The material world is very good in biblical faith. That includes, I think, the creation mandate to you and me. We're all made in the image of God. We're all called to trace the footsteps of the Creator. And as we do that, I think we're called to create wealth, to create civilizations. And that in itself, I think, is a very good thing. It's related to the fact that God doesn't like poverty. God doesn't want us to be poor. God wants us to have a generous sufficiency of material things. The other side of it, which is so crucial, is that material possessions are only a limited good. They're not all important. Jesus said it's better to lose the whole world than to lose one's living relationship with God. Christianity makes it very clear, biblical faith teaches us, that we get joy and happiness through right relationship first with God, and then with neighbor and ourselves, and finally the earth. Mm. And so we have to have a biblically nuanced understanding of the importance of material possessions, but real clarity that they're only of limited value. And St. Augustine's comment, I think, is so perceptive. They're a ring from the Beloved. They're very good, but don't forget the Beloved.
Yeah, nicely put. Ron Sider is with us. We're talking about simple living. In the book of Acts, many people who have read the New Testament will know of that passage where it says that they congregated together, they shared all things in common, and if anybody was in need, well, one person would sell what they had and give to the other, the proceeds, etc. So when it comes to moving the conversation on, when it comes to personal possessions, is it right to own things? What degree of personal affluence should we actually consider the norm when it comes to the Christian faith?
Well, I think the question of whether or not possessions themselves are legitimate, private ownership, that's one question. A different question is how much. On the first one, I think that the whole biblical stream of thinking assumes that private ownership is a good thing. We're told not to steal in the Ten Commandments. God apparently wanted the people of Israel, when they moved into the land, wanted every family to have their own land so they could earn their own way and be dignified members of the community. When we get to the New Testament, Jesus certainly calls us to dramatic sharing. We see in Acts 2 and 4 stories about just astounding kind of sharing within the body of Christ. But even though in those stories, I don't think what the text is talking about is a total common purse, where as soon as you become a Christian and join Jesus' new community, you sell everything you have. There are indications, both in the very grammar of the words that are used there and also later on in the text, where it's clear that people had their own homes and so on. What they're talking about is whenever there's need, there's dramatic sharing. So in the body of Christ, they affirm their oneness in a way that includes economics. But it doesn't mean that private possessions are entirely wrong. The other question, how much, is, if anything, even more complicated. You know, there's no simple answer, but I think that we have to distinguish between necessities and luxuries, although the difference is not, you know, ironclad or simply really neat. But we can make that distinction, and I think that we should all have the necessities, and we shouldn't demand too much by way of luxury.
Where do luxuries fit in at all?
You know, it's hard, and it's hard to know exactly how to draw the line, but I think it's not true that we should have nothing except the absolute bare minimum. Recreation is appropriate. I think appreciating music and the arts is appropriate. I think it's legitimate for Christians who are being genuinely biblical and who care deeply about the poor to spend some money on some recreational things. But if we discover that we're demanding the best of all the recreational equipment in all the recreational areas and are expending huge amounts on art and music and everything else, then it seems to me we need to ask, just a minute, we've got this out of balance. So I think what we need to do is to study what the Bible says about God's special concern for the poor, study the needs of the world for both evangelism and for overcoming poverty, and talk about it with a small group, brothers and sisters in Christ who understand all of that, and then ask the Spirit to show us how much we should spend on ourselves this year, how much beyond basic necessities. Do it with a good conscience and don't feel guilty if you buy a tennis racket to play tennis, if you enjoy playing tennis next year or the year after, evaluate it again and ask the Lord to show you again. And I'm quite sure if we did that overwhelmingly rich Christians, that's almost all of us, in the United States and Australia and all of the developing world, if we really did that, we would give a lot more to empower the poor and to do the work of the kingdom around the world, and we'd spend a lot less on ourselves and luxuries.
Yeah. And Ron, just a final area for us to explore when we're talking about simple living is the whole area of personal investments, shares, stocks, investing in real estate. Where does that fit into a simple lifestyle? Does it fit in at all, or is it a balance, or what?
You know, the same comment that I made earlier, this is not an easy question, applies here. My sense is private ownership is a good thing. Having one's own home to raise a family and to have that home as a place where one is secure and everything is familiar and good, I think that's just fine. Now, we don't need to double the size of those houses every 30 years or so, as we've done here in the U.S. We ought to make those modest. But I think our own home is a good thing. Some people, of course, are business people, and that's what God wants them to do, to create jobs and run businesses. And if that's what you're doing, you need to have capital and have a lot of capital if you're doing a large business. That's fine. Just because you make a lot of money, however, in a large business doesn't mean you need to spend all that yourself or have a million-dollar house or a $500 million house or whatever just because you can afford it. It's legitimate, I think, to have a pension fund, and that's probably going to mean stocks or bonds or both. But we always need to ask how much. And, of course, the society is going to say you always need more and more and more.
And I think that's where we'll turn to next week, is that message, more and more and more. Ron, thanks for your time.
Sure.
Ron Sider there, who's the author of Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger. We're talking about simple living. Next week, we're going to talk about combating consumerism.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.